right. That was a little bit of 5 Minutes Alone by a little band called Pantera. That's right. What do you know, Polly? How are you doing this evening, buddy?
Good. I'm doing great. Better than I deserve. Who says that? Dave Ramsey.
Yeah?
Yeah. Better than I deserve, man, on this earth.
I don't know Dave Ramsey. I don't know him. I know he's a chef or whatever, right?
No, he's a financial guru kind of planner guy.
Oh, well, he always said he's
kind of the master of the obvious, though, kind of like John Mann was in football.
When you cross the
end zone, it's a touchdown.
Right? I love Old Man.
Yeah, he's kind of like that of financial. Pay off your mortgage. Pay your highest car note or your highest interest rate off first if it's a credit card.
It's like thanks, Captain Obvious. Yeah, Captain Obvious. Yeah.
That's him.
That's good shit. Well, what are we going to get into tonight, Polly?
Well, I heard you a little bit coming in and about what do we do about crooked cops that taint evidence and things, right?
Well, yeah.
Judge Dredd style, in my opinion.
Well, it's not even the crooked cops. I'm saying Well, it's not even the crooked cops. I'm saying, what happens if let's say there's somebody that's been murdered or a sexual abuse case or something, and the police officer goes and says, "Okay, I'm going to arrest you," and then when the police officer gathers the evidence, he does it wrong, and let's say he's not even malicious about it. Let's just say he's incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that he's been incompetent, that evidence that he acquired is no longer admissible in court because he was incompetent in the way he got it or acquired it or whatever. And so now that that's happened, this person who did something fucking terrible now is going to get a free pass because even though there's this proof that has this shit that he did something wrong,
the chain of evidence,
it's messed up. And now, even though he did it, and even though there's proof to show that he fucking did it, something fucking happened, and now it can't be taken into court. And so that's the problem that that's the problem, the core foundation right here of, okay, what do we do about that? Like, how do you fix that? What's the solution to that?
Well, one progress toward it is when you do find a predator and it's not you lock them up for life, you castrate them, you woodchip them.
You can't.
No, when you do find that predator and you do find, because they're going to reoffend. So they might, I mean, it's the system we live in.
That doesn't receive re-offend. Justice for those harmed.
I know, for the person that
for
was
the person
harmed.
That was harmed. You got to receive the justice system, for the person harmed. You can't just be like, I'm going to turn, or we fucked up, sorry, you don't receive justice. But when they do it again, we're going to get them. And so I still want to find out how the original person that got harmed, they still need justice, man.
But here's the thing. You cross a line when it comes to official policy and legalities written down. We have to write things down to say this is the line. Right. And there are going to be some gray areas where there are casualties. You know what I think picks that up? Batman.
Right.
And you were talking about it, bro.
Right, right.
And if we, one, when we do catch him and we do have him dead to right in court, we don't give him 5 years for carnal abuse. We give him fucking heavy time. 75 years,
but the judge can't do that. That's the problem. No. Is that the judge literally in this case said, you're basically a fucking dirtball and you deserve life in prison, but I can't fucking do anything.
And
that's what the judge basically said in the courtroom, was like, I can't fucking do anything. I'm bound by the law and by the fact that the officers might have dropped the ball. And so now I'm bound by this shit and I can't do anything.
When it comes to that point, you know, when we don't have them dead to right, and they do have us on a technicality, Batman comes in.
Yeah.
Batman comes in, man.
There's no Batman.
Natural law has...
There's no Batman.
There are. They are out there.
Well, a lot of people don't.
Natural law, I mean, you read stories all the time.
There's people. There's that one guy that had his son or whatever sexually abused, and he went and he shot the fucking dude in the head when he was going. But
jury nullification.
Well, I mean, that's like the one case.
There's a famous case of a lady doing it. Actually, there's a lot of cases around. But it's the ones that get videoed are the ones that get pushed up.
And
it's rare, comparatively speaking.
And those people get in just as much trouble. But it's
that's where we have to stop it. See, that's where Batman comes in, is jury nullification.
Yeah, you're right.
And we say,
you're right.
No, sorry, he temporary insanity. If these people that poop on the sidewalk can use it in their defense, so can we to clean up
You're right.
Something.
You're right. Jury nullification would be the I mean.
And I think we're to that point. People are to that point to where they see through the
bullshit. But then the court system doesn't, they shut that down. Off straight, the same fucking county that this happened in, the judge told me and looked and said, if you mention the words jury nullification in my courtroom again, I will throw you in jail. Now, this was for a seatbelt ticket. I was straight representing myself in the courtroom and going, you know, I think seatbelt tickets are unjust.
Scary to him, wasn't it?
I'm a, you know, a free person, and it's a free person. You can't, you know, a cop on a motorcycle can't pull me over and give me a ticket. It wasn't a cop on a motorcycle, but I'm saying, like, motorcycles drive up and down the road. I have the free ride. I harmed nobody. There is no victim. There is no crime. I'm a free person. I can decide if I want to wear a seatbelt or not. I want to take it to jury trial, and I want to do jury nullification. And he lost his shit. And I'm not going to say it was the same judge. I don't even have a clue if it was the same judge or not. But it was in the same county. And so while you are 100% correct, good sir, that maybe a little bit of Batman and a little bit of jury nullification would be a great idea, at the same time, the same system that...
I don't want the Punisher, though. See, there's a difference. When you put that badge on, I say, in my opinion, you have to live by what we wrote down on paper.
Right.
You have to live by that. And if you don't, you get cast out. Right. You know, and I say Judge Dredd style, cast them out of the country, shame them, rip their shirt off.
I don't know if I don't think I've seen Judge Dredd.
Okay. Anyway.
But,
Yeah.
I have seen Batman, though.
I think we have to stick with rules written down, and there are going to be things that fall through an imperfect system.
Yeah, but like I said,
and that's where Batman comes in, and that's
but you can't depend on Batman. Like the
no, but he's going to reoffend. If anything we know, these predators, they do it again. And when we do catch them dead to right, that's where my other plan comes in, where we sentence the shit out of them. We castrate. We do what we need to do.
But that's like a get out of jail free card. I don't agree with it. I think that there needs to be some more justice. We need to, when evidence,
it does suck. I mean,
what do we do when evidence is fucked up? When evidence, somebody shits the bed with evidence, but it's still there and it's still prevalent. Like,
so I answered the court side. What do we do to the cop that fucked it up now? He should be culpable. Or she. See, she's a lot more now. I get pictures every day of cops, and they have their counterparts next to them. It's three big burly guys, and then one literally half the size, a little female, 110-pounder. That 110-pound female is more dangerous than that big male cop. Because she's going to be able to claim anything. She was in fear for her life. She's going to be able to lethal kill anything. They're hiring these, and they're endangering the public with it. You know what I mean? There's really a threshold with that have to pass. And so once we start lowering our standards in that way, you're going to have this happen. So but I they say still we say have to punish anyway. Those I bad mean, cops.
Some there are police officers that are just chomping at the bit to use force and like that. And so
they want
to
do it.
It doesn't matter whether it's a 110-pound female or a big guy.
This one's really famous. The guy in his swimming trunks and the lady cop came up, and she was like, had her gun out on him. He was in swimming trunks. You could basically see everything, his waistband, everything. No shirt. And it's a famous clip. And she literally went off, had it, and he's like, who are you? Why you got a gun pointed at me? And like, was totally, that was a big meme thing. I thought maybe you had seen it.
I'm sure I have. I'm not remembering it right off the bat. I forget a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's, my point to that was, there's plenty of those cases. I could watch literally videos every day. There's podcasters that make hundreds of thousands of dollars, and that's all they do. Delete Laws is one of them, just comes off the top of my head. Detective Matthews, he's a detective, and he points out bad cops.
Right.
You know. If the cops weren't crooked in a majority sense, like I say they are, then Internal Affairs would be the best cop ever. Whenever they come around, everybody would be patting their back. Yeah, get the bad cops because we are about honor. But they don't. Internal Affairs are always frowned upon by the rank and file cops.
Yeah,
and like that tells you everything about their integrity. They hate Internal Affairs because Internal Affairs' job to clean up bad cops. They all stick together, bro. It's just like this sheriff right now, sticking to this bad cop. It would have been so much more fun if that chase would have happened. Right, just weeks after that lady died for chasing. Right? So and he's just that mentality,
bit,
bro.
I've seen a little bit about it.
It doesn't matter. And here's my context theory. It doesn't matter the whole context, which I did watch the whole video. But the one that they
How'd
snipped
you see
out.
The whole video?
Who cares? Oh, it's online right now. You can watch it. Yep. Who cares? What he said in that snippet is all I needed to hear, bro. Is all I needed to hear. It would have been more fun if he would have ran. So dude's wanting to use that Brady law or whatever that damn law. I don't even know what that law they used against the kid. Right. But, you know, it's sickening mentality that we're hiring these cops, dude, in that every one of them is like that. I say if they last longer than a year, year and a half, they're corrupt. Because they have seen something that they should have went against, and they probably didn't. That's my theory on cops, dude. You can't be there a long time and not be corrupted.
I don't know. I can't say what is the
inner
and
be out of, for liberty.
Oh, I'm not a blue liner, but at the same time I know that I can't just automatically assume the entire police force is corrupt. I don't want to do that. But that's just my perspective, you know. But I definitely can see the spot where there's a lot of corruption, and if police officers do call that out, they get fired and they get pushed out, and that's
and there you go with my year and a half theory, bro. As soon as they call them out, they get fired. So they're a short time.
I don't know what goes on behind the scenes, and so that's one of those things where I'm like, well, I can suspect.
We all know. We can know without knowing, man. That's actually a thing. But they say you have to have, you know. Yeah, to convict them in a court of law, but to have an accurate opinion about them? Nah, I don't need all evidence, a picture showing me every cop. Nah, I could just see what my eyes and my whole life has shown me.
But they have
people get scared when cops are around. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that.
And that's because the system is broken. And I think that's the fundamental flaw here, is that the cops and the entire system is designed to infringe on our lives and take money and have like a ruling force of intimidation upon us. And it's more about intimidation and about the security of policing the streets and all this shit, as opposed to seeking justice. I think we need to not be so much a police force, but a justice force. You know what I mean? Agreed. And take that. That would switch the mentality. People shouldn't feel scared when they get pulled over by the police. They should feel secured.
Go back to 70s, 80s style police, and I would say,
right,
beyond that.
Right.
I accept that.
And I think that's what we need to focus on, is more of that mindset. And so I can't say that all police officers are bad, but I can say that there's definitely flaws, and every day they do things that violate our rights, and they do things that are definitely questionable when they should be focusing. Like I said, Tony Helms
helping
offered me a job.
People.
When COVID hit, I went and talked to every police officer and said, hey, are you going to shut down businesses and do all this? Are you going to force us to wear masks? Are you going to shut down businesses? And are you going to force us to get a vaccine? And at the time, I was a crazy lunatic conspiracy theorist, and they're like, no, sir, I would never do that. And then lo and behold, here came mass mandates. It was before all the mandates and shit happened. It wasn't a thing for a mask mandate. Because in the beginning, when I said, they're going to make us, if you make us wear a mask, are you going to force that? And they're like, no, who would do that? And then about 3 weeks later, all the police, it became a thing. The government came out and said, you now have to wear a mask, and everybody else caved, but our police officers didn't, because, or our sheriffs and the people that were running didn't. But I was always on Tony Helm because he was the police officer at the time. It's just like Trump right now. I'm always on Trump shit because he's the guy in charge of the shit in the bed right now. And so
he's the spearhead, right?
And so it does the same thing when Obama was in office. I was on him like a fucking rabid dog because he was the one that was shit in the bed the whole time. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so, I definitely kind of was on Tony Helm, and so we had multiple talks many times to where he'd be having a meet and greet or whatever, you know, how politics do, and I'll show up. All right, Tony, what's up? You're live on Facebook, you know, and Facebook Live, and just straight up Facebook Live have conversations and be like, okay, let me ask you some questions. And so those were the questions I asked him. And so we were going back and forth, and he goes, I'll tell you what, and it was one of those things, you know, he could kind of catch a vibe to where he probably felt that I wasn't the most pro police person, you know what I mean? And to where he's like, he's like, I'll tell you what, you come see what we deal with and you come be a police officer. And I was like, sure, bro, I will sign up. Give me a badge tomorrow. Give me a badge tomorrow. I said, the only problem is that I'm only going to do victimless crimes I'm going to turn my head on victimless crimes and I'm only going to go for those that are victims. And I'm going to police that way. And he's like, oh no, you could never do that. You can't do that. And so he straight told me no. He was like, you could never be a police officer doing that because you can't do that. And that's like, and so that comes full circle to where you're saying
they have discretion. To where
they do to an extent. See? And so that's the thing. So and so that comes back full circle to what you're saying.
It's
to where
harder.
Every cop.
Let's explain to the audience why cops don't. It's harder to go after the criminal. The criminal will run away.
Yeah, exactly.
The criminal will shoot at you.
And it takes so much effort and resources and all this stuff.
It's so easy to get the tax guy.
Exactly.
He'll just go down the road and just pay the money. His little fine.
Exactly.
You know?
It's so much easier to get the money. And so that's where...
Because cops are corrupt. Well,
but that's
their discretion leads them that way, bro.
But it's the fundamental foundation of the system. I don't think the cops are necessarily bad. I think the system
is
broken.
Because they do have that discretion? Because they do? Maybe they should be.
They
aimed.
Should use that shit
they
more.
Be aimed
but if they
in a
use
direction,
that,
no,
that's the
no,
thing.
Sir. Captain should say, no, sir, sergeant. Get off that parking lot. Didn't remember that child molestation case?
Yeah.
So
get
maybe
that.
From above,
right.
They need to be directed.
Exactly. 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 And so that's like my fundamental. And in order for a sheriff to do that, they have to give the fucking bird to the system and to the higher courts.
They have to raise
their standards again. Well, they have to tell the state and the federal government and everybody because it's I think it's borderline illegal for them, like dereliction of the job. If somebody is speeding and Polly goes by at 90 miles an hour and he has the choice between pulling Polly over at 90 miles an hour or he has the choice between going and doing research trying to investigate a child molester that you know, it may take another 100 hours of research. And so he turns his head while Polly speeds by and now he gets fined derelict of his job because he didn't do it. And so there's a line to where
they have to see
right.
Something
and
they
so
have to take
the boss, the sheriff, the one in charge, has to be able to stand up and go, look,
the administrator.
Look, yeah, this shit is broken. Your system is flawed. I'm not going to abide by that shit. And I'm going to focus more on the victims. I'm going to focus more on justice. And I'm not going to do that. And so when you say that every cop is bad, I don't think that they're all bad. I think they're stuck in this fucking system, the same system that we're in, and they have the best of intentions, but at the same time, they're forced into doing all this other bullshit.
But here's the difference.
And
here's
and
the
we
difference.
Still need them. We
let me
still
stop,
need them.
Stop. Let me. We do need them. But here's the difference. They don't have to do that. We're forced in this system, like you said, but they're not. They could go find a job. They could go. Unless we're hiring the lowest of the low and we're lowering our standards so bad. And if we're lowering our standards that low, we'll never have what me and you want. Because... You know, the lowest of the low crop won't want to do that.
It's the
they
same way they cheated
the
bar
lines.
License, though. So a lawyer can't. So when it comes to jury nullification, a lawyer can't stand up in the courtroom and go, I am going for jury nullification because this law is fucked up and my client needs to be innocent and we're doing jury nullification. The second he does that, he loses his license and he can no longer his bar license and he no longer has a job. He no longer has a career. He no longer has anything. They throw
even
him out the door.
Though, even though it's a legal thing that's can happen, it's
right.
not illegal.
And it's the same thing with police officers. So a police officer stands up and it's a legal thing to stand up and use his discretion and do exactly like what I was telling Tony. And mm-hmm. an officer can go to his higher ups and being like, I'm using my discretion to only go for victim crimes. I don't go after victimless crimes. And they go, well, technically, your license says that you have to do that. And if you don't follow that, even the sheriff, probably higher ups, the state, will pull his fucking license. And then he no longer can be a police officer because they pull his license. And so it's administrative bullshit that's happening behind all this that's keeping their hands bound. And it's not necessarily that they're bad people because they're still going after the bad guys.
So
and they're still needed.
To that.
But they're still the problem is still there to where they don't have the ability to
here's
stand up to the broken
to
flaws in the
here's
system.
Here's my answer to this.
Yeah.
You have plenty of cops that are willing to do it on the wrong side, to be a line stepper and step on the wrong side. Okay, I'll let my mom go. So right. when it comes to doing good for the community and being a line stepper, they can't do it? No, I say they have the same discretion
right.
when they break the rules to do what we want them to do and prioritize
bad crimes. But when they break the
crimes.
Rules, that's
you
the
know,
thing.
They're
is,
still breaking the rules.
I don't know. But when they break the rules, their ass is on the line. And so they'll break the rule for their mom because they're like, fuck it, I love my mom enough to put my ass on the line. But I'm not going to put my line for everybody all the time because
they're not in it for the right reason. They're if they were to do that,
they would lose it the same way that the lawyer would lose his license, his bar license. So the second they do say, okay, no victim, no crime, I'm going to live by this philosophy, that's going to play out really quick to where they're like, okay, you didn't do your job, you're fired.
You're right.
And so that's just the way the system's set up. It's designed from the top down like this. And so as always, it's the fundamental flaws to where we have to stand up and flip tables and flip the whole system.
There you go.
And we can't allow the system to be at the same thing. We gotta change the fundamental way it's set up. We got to do something as far as the fundamental way it's being used and utilized. Like,
take away laws, period. Take away babysitting laws that cops don't really want to either.
Right.
They don't want to. You know, I say sometimes that they don't want to go after the blade of grass guy.
Yeah.
The guy that had, you know, ordinance has a blade of grass. Now he's got to go over here and maybe get into fisticuffs with a guy over a blade of grass. Right. Really?
Yeah.
So I say we get rid of those low-hanging fruit. Don't make cops our babysitters no more. But the problem is that's not what they want. They
well, and that comes back around to the people.
People need babysitters. That comes back around to the people on purpose. So that's our babysitting force.
And it comes back down to the people. Because we allow, because you got to realize that these laws and all the shit that they're babysitting are created by politicians. They don't have a choice. Yep. It's not like the police officer can go, oh, well, that law is screwed. You know, it's the politician that's creating the law, and the politician is bought off by a fucking corporation. And now you got politicians creating laws for corporations, which then the police officers now don't have to enforce. And now it's just all an entire big fucking money game.
Secret
it's just a big circle
force.
Of fucking,
and it's
a big
secret police
circle
force
of money
for
that just
the,
spins out of control.
For the national, what do they call it? Transnational capitalism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a police force.
For them. All invest in each other. You know what I mean? Like, the politicians will invest in the police, and the police will invest in the and the corporations will invest in it. They all invest, and it's all, you know,
the
money is the root of it all.
The money is the root of it all. He's for liberty and protected people's rights.
It always
he
comes
loves
back
that
to money.
Camera, don't he?
Yeah, I'm
the
sure
private,
there's some kickbacks.
Palantir, is that the name?
Flock.
Flock.
Yeah, but Palantir is a different entity entirely. They're entire.
Is that the umbrella?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Well, that's Palantir is so. Palantir is basically working with the Department of Defense, and that's what is in charge of everything. And so the Department of Defense,
the data collection,
can say, okay, Flock's my shit. Literally anything, the NSA, the FBI, all that shit, that's all part of. They can all kind of intertwine there. You know what I mean? All the agencies can work with each other. But the DOD is like the top boss. You know what I mean? And Palantir is the main ability to run all the electronic shit. They do everything. And they're doing everything for the DOD. Like, everything goes through them. But then there's smaller entities and divisions like Flock below
sub
them.
Out
yeah. But it's all stuff. Yeah, it's all connected through the web. You know, through the pyramid
through
scheme of
system.
Power. You know what I mean? And so Palantir is basically at the top of this pyramid
the
scheme.
Umbrella.
Yeah, they're at the top, and you know, the DOD is right above them, and they're just basically the DOD, the electronic department of the DOD.
Yeah.
And you know, that goes into PayPal Mafia, because Peter Thiel, the dude that runs the Palantir, he was homies with Elon Musk. Him and Elon Musk were part of the PayPal Mafia, which there's like six of them, and they all did all kinds of crazy shit. And they're basically, I mean, taking over the world, really.
Hey, now that we're on this, I want to talk about it, because you are on it now. This is what I've been trying to explain to you. That there are white hats. There are two sides in what's happening. There are transnational capitalists. And then there are national capitalists. And the nationalists are better for us, me and you, and our line of view, I think. Okay? So Bitcoin is a deep state creation. I accept that in your premises. But it's the white hats in the deep state that created it to compete against the fiat currencies. They had to break the deep state by breaking their currency, their monopoly on me and you trading things together and it being valuable. So Bitcoin and other cryptos were made 20 years ago. This is a 20, 25, 30 year plan to break the deep state. The deep state will pop them in the head, cause a nuclear war. These are long game actions. So Bitcoin was created as a direct competition to break the Federal Reserve, to break the monopoly on money that they had. There's the only reason. So now, opposite. Now Bitcoin, like you said, the mafia, PayPal mafia, it's the Bitcoin mafia. They hold, they're the Soshi, whatever the guy's name is, that's supposed to, Sushi, whatever, that invented Bitcoin. They are that guy that hold all that. So now they can fund our side. See, the deep state always had the money, like you said. This is an internal war, and I can see it playing out because global powers are being disrupted as we speak. They're OPEC's over. NATO might be over. Everything I wanted to happen. I wanted NATO crushed, dude. I didn't want to be world police. He's crushing those things. He's crushing those things. We're going to be Western Hemisphere police. And I kind of like that.
No.
Because we built Venezuela's infrastructure.
Well, I don't think we need to be any police of any other country. I don't like any of the idea of the police. I mean, we're sitting here talking about how it's a bad idea, so we don't want to expand that presence. I don't think it's our job to go into other countries.
We switch it. We actually are shrinking, in my theory, just sticking to the Western Hemisphere, which is the Americas. We are actually shrinking our footprint by a lot.
So let me hit on the Bitcoin real quick. Okay. I think that is... you think it's the good guys. There's a lot of evidence to show that it was Anonymous that created Bitcoin, and that was part of it. And so the deep state is part of creating it and running it, and that's all part of the same thing. So you're talking about OPEC too and going on over to that. So that's one of those things that
I was just talking about global orders, though, right, being broke up. The old global order, you have to admit, it's like they're scratching their head. No. Nationalism is on a rise, and you know, transnationalism is losing out right now as we speak. Even Vanguard and BlackRock had to admit the currency switch. And, you know, we're breaking
so
their back.
So I've done a lot of research on this shit lately. So do you do crypto at all?
I have some held back from years ago, but I don't do any active.
So there is this thing called a rug pull. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, like the girl had, what's her name? Hoktua girl.
Oh.
She pumped it up and then got paid. And then everybody else got left paying her.
Right. And so the basis of these currencies is that. And so now you can go into the Genius Bill and into the stable coin that Trump has created, the stable coin. And so the way that works is basically anyone can create their currency and create their own entity. And so obviously the deep state, all the black hats.
Yeah, say the bad ones.
Yeah. They just go, okay, fuck the dollar. I'm going to now go and create my own currency, and I now have my own stable coin. This is the JP Morgan's already doing
one out of
the
thousands.
But no, you can do it at any time. You Polly can create a stable coin.
I know.
And so JP Morgan can also create a stable coin. Yep. And when they do, now
buyer beware.
Guess what?
On which coin you buy.
All the regulations that are in place to protect us is all out the door, because this is the Wild West out there, and so they're allowed to
do buyer beware
whatever
again.
They want.
Who you put your money in, you got to do your research.
I get it. I get it. But,
I like it.
No, but at the same time, what this is doing, obviously, is creating a scenario for a world dollar, because it bypasses all other currencies and it makes it to where the yen can create, or any currency can create, their own stable coin. And so any country anywhere can create a stable coin, and it goes into it. And so it's all supposedly backed and based by the dollar. So if the dollar collapses, there's going to be nothing to base stablecoin except for what they say. And they have a way, they have two different ways you can do stablecoin. You can do it backed by a dollar, 1-to-1 ratio, or they have an algorithmic method to where
which
they
is
do
the blockchain
it
that everybody talks about.
To where
Bitcoin.
It's burn turn. Well, no. This is a completely different scenario in which they do this. This is not the same scenario. The way they do this is they do a algorithmic method to keep prices the same. So they do what's I don't remember the word for creating it. Instead of printing it, they create a coin or they burn a coin and they eliminate it and it keeps the price.
I got you.
But at the end of the day, at the end of the day, we got computers and the everything is being manipulated massively by this. I mean, and so when the dollar collapses,
systems, that's going to happen. Manipulation.
No, listen to me. I'm getting to it. So the dollar is collapsing. They know it's collapsing. Yep. And what they've doing is buying, JP Morgan is buying treasuries from the department of, from the government. Mm-hmm. And so these treasuries are going to be paid back through stablecoin. And so when the dollar collapses, JP Morgan is going to be the top dog of stablecoin. And these are going to be the same bankers that run the world now are going to have the most stablecoin and the most of the currency. And they're going to run the new currency that's already set up. And they're going to have way less regulations to where all the brakes are off and they can do whatever the fuck they want.
Now, here's my answer to that. Here's my answer to that, Josh. Their coin. Yeah, but we're not going to buy. I'm not buying no JP Morgan. Oh, I'm sticking with the coins that are already out there before that. The ones that are the are is based on the actual Bitcoin. And as far as the rug pull, you're right. But see, that's the beauty of it. We've been paying the world through the Federal Reserve System and USAID and those things.
But any of them we're could
getting. Hold on. The rug pull is for the world. It's going to be pulled on the world to pay our debt off. That's the funny thing about it. Everybody in the world that gives to these cryptos, and it's a world, these, like you said, they're, you can buy it with yen. Those people are going to get the rug pull on them.
Donald Trump is the epitome of pushing this.
To pay our debt. To pay our debt off,
dude. But he's the one that's doing this. And
it's
going to
be the world paying our debt off since we've been paying for their shit for the last 100 years. This rug pull, you're correct in the theory.
He gave a whole bunch to Iran. Did you see where he gave a whole bunch of bunch of that to Iran?
Iran has given a lot up, too, in leadership.
I'm just saying.
And also in AI. We always wanted them to come in front of the atomic board, and it's happening, dude. So there's a give and take when it comes to peace. And there is compassion when it comes to half the population is for the United States.
I'm talking the stablecoin thing where he gave them stablecoin was
money.
Years ago.
Money.
Like this was not now. Years ago, he gave them billions in stablecoin.
Not sure about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah. So,
and John Kerry, cousins are over there.
It's so. There's questions there that make me go, how much is all of this planned?
Currency.
So let's break down even more. And so we're talking about OPEC and oil, and JR sent me the video, and I guess you guys are thinking that he's not controlled opposition. So I definitely want to break this down. So when Trump comes out and says, oh, man, Exxon, they're gouging prices, and they're doing all this stuff. Oh, it's so bad, and I'm going after OPEC. It's so bad. Let's look at what has happened to our country, who runs the country, who's running things. Exxon Mobil, I know I say it a lot, they don't need OPEC. They are our own entity right here in our own country. And Exxon Mobil is basically JP Morgan. It's the deep state. It's the marsh that we talk about. It's all of this. And so when we break away from OPEC, what we're doing is OPEC is what it's all the countries working together to manipulate the prices. Basically, it's like a mafia of prices to control the prices. And
yeah,
so
exactly that cartel,
right? It's a cartel. Yep. It's a cartel, and they even classify it as such. And so I get it that we're stepping away from it, but what we should have instead of a cartel of OPEC or instead of a cartel of Exxon and these same companies that have run, we should have a true free market to where everything is competitive. That's not happening.
It's hard
and
to do
so,
with startups, isn't it?
Right.
To
and
get
so,
a new oil company to
right,
start up.
Right. And so that's that. But at the end of the day, when you say he's not controlled opposition and all this other stuff, the opposition are the people that are taking our freedoms and have held us down for 100 years now. And these are the Rockefeller family dynasty.
Let
these are the JP
that.
Morgan.
Let me answer that.
Hold on. Gotcha. I'm getting to a point. So these are the people that have had a stranglehold and have taken our freedoms and who have corrupted our system and abused our system to give themselves all the power now. And so when I say controlled opposition, he is working for them. And lo and behold, that's exactly what's giving them the most money. They are, in fact, making this money. And now it's his job as controlled opposition to come out and make a scene and go, oh my goodness, they're making all money. When I was even telling you, I told you a month ago, I said, hey, they're manipulating the prices. This is a big deal. Some hillbilly Josh out in the middle of Missouri on the show here seeing this coming, but our president didn't see it coming and didn't know it was happening and didn't say a word until now after they made all the money.
I got this. So it's a dynamic game. It was a world oil fight. Okay. He took that out. Venezuela, Iran. Those are admittedly oil maneuvers. Okay. So doing that, now he shifts all, now we become number one exporter in the world of oil now, recently. So now ExxonMobil, you are correct, is making these great profits because it all switched to them. They're like, holy cow, we're holding all the cars now. Thank you, Trump. But what he did is he broke global orders to turn it back national. Now that we have the power when it comes to energy in the world, now that we have it, now he's on the ExxonMobil saying, now that we got it, bro, I gave it all to you. We got it back to a national thing where we're number one in the world exporter. Now you have to be good to the American people. So he's reining in two monsters.
Can I go?
That doesn't look like controlled opposition to me.
Can I go, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So the way I see it is that we have this thing called oil, national oil reserves.
Yes.
And there were 800, I think, a billion or million. I don't remember which it was, but I think it was 800 million. I think it was 800 million because we do like 20 million a day. And so 800 million is what it originally was at full pool. And these oil reserves, these strategic oil reserves, are in Texas. They're in salt caverns under the ground. And so I think Texas, maybe Louisiana or something like that.
Other states.
Yeah. But they're in salt caverns. They're in salt caverns under the ground that are filled up full of oil. And so, these caverns, China has 1.6 million strategic oil reserves. We had 800 million, or they had 1.6 billion, billion. And so they had twice as much as what we had. And so we had 800 when Trump was in term, I think when he first went into office. And so sometime between when Trump went into office the first time and when he went into office now, we've somehow went down to 400 billion in these reserves. Half of it. We've lost half of our reserves. So that 400 million has been swindled and lost. And so think about 400 million
to the market to keep the price low.
But no, there's no tracking where you can go back and look.
You're saying it's missing.
It's audited. There's no audit. There's no receipt of saying, "Oh, this is where the 400 million gallons of oil went." There's no receipts for it.
Oh, well, that is suspect.
Yeah.
Half our strategic reserves.
I've been looking into this shit. And so the way those reserves got there is that we, the people, paid for those reserves and put those there. But when they sell it, the oil companies and Trump and Exxon, they all get a cut. And even though we're the ones that paid for it to put it there, they still get a cut. So, that 400 million gone.
That
400 million gone. And since the war has been happening, our oil there is so depleted. They think it's getting down to.
I know that is to be true.
It's almost gone. And they say now it's at the bottom. The sludge is like so full of salt and sediment and all the shit. And they don't even know exactly how much is left. But they're like, we're about out.
We're
about out. And so when that happens, now you got to think about it. So ExxonMobil and Trump probably made a bunch of money off of this. And so they sat here and drained our strategic oil supplies dry. Okay. They sat here and did all this stuff and ruined what they're going to do is the price is getting ready to drop.
So where did you research these things at? I want to read this shit. Well, I mean,
you can research it. You can research all this stuff up. I spent so much time researching shit. It's insane.
Yeah.
And so I'll see somebody comment something on Facebook and I'll be like, well, fucking let me call you on your bullshit. And I'll fucking type it in and I'll look and I'll be like, damn, that ain't bullshit. You know? And I constantly am learning every day. And so I'm spending so much time into this. It's insane. And so it's really an unfair advantage. I have more time to do this than a lot of people, but it's just because I'm hyper-focusing and I've committed my life to this at this point. Because, like I said, I'm going through trying to write this book and trying to come to solutions and all this other shit, but that's beside the point. So this is why I'm learning so much about it right now. But so at the end of the day, you got him sitting here and he's given the deep state and the people that have corrupted the system, the Morgans, the Rockefellers, the same people, the same corporations that have fucked us all over for hundreds of years now. He has taken and said, okay, you're not a part of OPEC no more. So now those prices are going to be driven up because the rest of the world hasn't gotten oil. He stopped the oil supply for so long that everything is going to get driven up. Europe's about out of oil. Everybody's about oil. And when they do, shit is going to break down and all the prices are going to up. And now we don't even have any strategic oil reserves. We shit the bed. Our strategy of, that's why they're called strategic. And we no longer have any strategy. It's gone.
Let me answer that. So the futures are up for a reason. People are putting their money on it's flowing again. I think the alternative methods from that Middle East fiasco are pumping out is, you know, I think it's coming. They're fixing to, you know, refill.
The numbers,
they are depleted, but
it's impossible.
They're fixing to refill.
It's a math problem.
Like there's more oil being pumped out now that it is open, than ever before on the earth. It's got it. You know,
where are these numbers at?
What do you mean? I mean, Venezuela's online. The
Venezuela is pumping 1 million gallons a day. And we take 16 million gallons a day, and we're not producing 16 million gallons a day.
Actually, I think we produce more.
I don't think so.
Anwar's, you know, fixing to get fully online. They're
no, and especially if we lose with the other countries. And so what this is going to do, if we're not producing as much as we rely on, it's just a math number.
I think we are. I think that's why the futures are up.
Why are our strategic oil reserves going away, Paulie?
They're on their way back up because we did have a 3-month, 4 months. When was it? February. But 4 months.
So what's changing?
It's open now. Everything's flowing.
But we're nationalizing and not part of OPEC. If we're not part of that, that doesn't affect us.
Stop. It just switched, though. Now it switched to we're the number one exporter. It wasn't like that 4 months ago. It was a struggle of 4 months. That's why they're depleted. Now that we're online, and so is, you know, everything else that was online before we put our, you know, stuff online.
How are we going to sell more?
We became the number one exporter.
Paulie, it's an infrastructure problem. We do not have the ability to produce more oil.
We don't have the ability to refine our own oil, but those refineries are coming.
It's a number problem. Well, it's not there now. And so our infrastructure is not there now. We are using more, and now they're talking about selling more. So if we use 16 million gallons a day and we produce 15 million gallons a day, and
see,
we sell.
I don't know those numbers are correct.
If we
produce more.
We can look up the numbers. I'll play a song and can look it up. But the point being, let's say hypothetically, there's two different ways to look at this. Let's say I am right. Mm-hmm. Let's say I am right, and that we don't have the ability to produce as much as we use. And then from there, all this talk about, oh, we're going to be so rich selling to all these other countries and we're going to do so good. How are we going to support ourselves when our strategic reserves are gone, when we're not able to produce enough for our country? And it doesn't even matter. What are we going to sell our country out by selling to other countries so Exxon can make a profit?
No, I think at that point, I don't think that's what the deal? Future looks like.
It is, but because we're right
point,
there. It's math.
I think at that point, different decisions will be made. We'll be like, no,
what's
we
the
can't
decision
it,
when
bro?
We're already fucked and don't have it, the oil? It's a supply and demand. And when we still have the same demand of everybody depending on oil to survive and the supply isn't there because it's completely gone, our national strategic supply is gone, we can't produce enough to do it. What's the answer? There is no answer besides hiking that shit up to
know,
the moon.
Man.
The oil will go to $10.
Dude, and I just see that people are putting their money
future's wrong.
In the future.
Your crystal ball is wrong because the math dictates
that
you
don't have money.
It's simple math says that whatever you're predicting and whatever your futures are is not right because the math says that we are getting ready to run out. And when we do, gas is going to go up to $10 a gallon because of supply and demand. And they've eliminated all the supply. That's why the strategic oil reserves are gone. And so Exxon is getting ready to make all the money in the world. And Trump, Mr. Controlled Opposition, is out there beating his chest trying to say, oh my God, they're so bad. I do not know how they took all of our strategic strategic oil reserves and have the perfect setup to make all this money. I don't. How did they do this? And how is J.P. Morgan now going to be able to control the dollar that I just created, the surefire electronic dollar that's going to work? Oh my goodness, they're going to have control of that too. And the same people that I supposedly fought now run everything. Shit.
And so that's why my answer here is, if your predictions come true, I would have been doing push-ups, bro. But it looks like you're well on your way to be doing 100.
No way.
So the record, record state.
I got till August.
548.
It's going to be way before that, before August, bro. Our strategic oil reserves are going to be gone in 2 weeks, my friend.
And predictions have come true, and yours have not.
Okay. Well, hey, yours have been cheated through. The only reason your prediction didn't come true is because he stole our strategic oil reserves. I did not have that factored into my my calculations. I said, we're going to be fucked. And then I wasn't like, oh, he's going to steal all our strategic oil reserves, and him and his buddies are going to make all that money off of fucking us and stealing our oil.
So by the next 2 months, that's what I'm saying.
Promise you, you're going to be doing. So after
that's
it hits,
and I have about, bro.
Right. And so after I get up to zero, the gas prices are still going to go. It's going to be up to $10. I promise you. And so you're going to get continually more push-ups. So after I break even, I'm going to go, hey, Paul, you want another 20?
Do you
want
to do it again?
Yeah. Okay. And so wait until I break even. And once I break even by August, I got you and JR basically by the midterms or whatever. And so you and JR's really the one getting fucked out of this, because I'm going to end up going down and coming back and breaking even. And so you and me are going to set even, but JR is going to be the one to do push-ups out of your and me's bet. So after it's going to hit before JR has to do pushups. So when it does with you and me, when I break even, I'll make another bet for another dollar. So, I unfortunately hate to be pessimist like this, but it's just writing on the wall to me. To me, it's just simple math, and it's just the outcome of everything. Supply and demand dictates all this. And our supply has not just as our country, our the whole fucking world, all the supply has been drained. And now we have to create enough, and there's no more infrastructure. We've bombed the infrastructure in all these other countries, and it's just a math problem. If we're not able to produce as much as we were producing before now, because the infrastructure's fucked up, and all this other stuff. So it's we're in a continual downslide right here, which is going to drive the prices up.
Another answer. Libya, back in the day, their oil was like 8 cents or something a gallon, right? Right? Because they made it. Yes, it was. It was like 8 cents a gallon. Because ones who made it, and they produced it for the world, and they sold it all. Imagine that being us, that nobody else could sell it. Now we could charge $200 a barrel, but our people will get it for
government taking away the oil from Exxon? Is that what you're suggesting? Because that's the way did it, is through they nationalized their oil. And so
no, but it couldn't be that, because Trump
would have to go
where
to
regulators but I'm do saying, control our corporations. I'm saying,
or in order for your theory, with your Libyan theory to work out, our government, Trump, would have to go to Exxon and Chevron other countries and say...
No, you could strongman them and say, hey, you better make it 225, just like that tweet did today. He could strongman them and say, dude, I'll regulate your ass to fucking death.
I feel
and if the system's going to be used in my advantage, I'm going to be for that guy.
So you think that Trump should be able to take the oil from the oil companies? That's a bold move. I didn't say that.
I said he should regulate it. He should use the power he's got as executive to say, these are things that the American people say I have power to do to you that I'm not doing right now, and I will do them full steam if you don't treat the American people right. I like that.
I call that a smoke show.
Not in cahoots.
It's all
not
no, in cahoots. It's in cahoots. Him. He has to act
not
like
if
that.
The price goes
he never
down,
said
bro.
Anything.
If I win, good.
Paulie,
the
we're doing
cahoots
the thing.
Work.
We're doing the thing. We're doing the thing. All right.
Yeah.
So
I got you.
I'm saying that it's his job to be a front man and to say this stuff of, hey, these guys are bad, but at the same time, he didn't say something a month ago when they were stealing all our strategic oil reserves. Him and them took all of our shit, and they're just doing it behind our backs. And he should have said something when old Josh was saying something a month ago. And the fact that he didn't just goes to show that he's one of them. He let all the shit happen, and now he's like, oh no, how did it happen? And so he's playing the game for him. That's how controlled opposition works. Is he has to appear to be opposition.
Yeah,
he can't sit there and be like, I love Alex on. We're going to fuck you all. Get ready. I got the lube. Well, call me P. Diddy. Well, let's do this shit.
Here's my theory on that. The controlled opposition can't make you lose every time. And they're losing, dude, and I'm winning.
They are
I'm
not. They just fucked us all out of our strategic oil reserves.
Our futures are looking good. I'm just looking at the future.
Are you invested in Exxon?
Let me go back.
is that your future,
you know,
bro?
You keep bringing up the reserves, and you're animated about it. I'm trying to describe you. So you like use your hands like high and low.
Right.
And you're like using it as a level. Have you ever seen Waterworld?
Yeah.
That brings to mind the guy in the tanker that he's way down there at the bottom. And you remember the guy, the old man in the boat?
That's what I'm trying to portray. I don't remember the guy, but exactly what you're explaining is
the tanker was running
it's
empty,
like the fuel gauge. Seriously, my hand is the fuel gauge here, and I'm like trying to, I guess, subliminally with my hand in my over-exuberated
emotional
self. I guess
that's that was their hard reality. That was their hard reality.
I think that's our hard reality too, unfortunately. Do
somebody's
we want to do this?
I don't care, yeah. Do it.
You know who it is.
No, I don't care.
All right, here we go.
He likes it.
Caller, you're live on the air this evening. How are you doing?
Hey. You know the war's back on.
Do what?
Said you know the war is back on.
Yeah, I have seen that. I have seen to where it seems to that there's going to be some.
What are the details of that? Like, was there a firing? What? Was Lebanon firing on, or
I think that Lebanon. Yeah, I think that's where the Israel and Lebanon, because Israel's breaking
the sticking point,
the deal, and so I think that's where it's at. Is that's why the. Everything's falling apart as far as the peace deals and stuff like that. And so, once again, that does bring up the question that the straits are probably going to get re-shut down. And, any time the straits are shut down is just the price going up in the future. That's the way I see it.
But it's only going to make it through Friday. I sent you an email that explained the same thing that you're trying to say.
I don't know. I didn't see it.
I sent it to damn radio.
Sorry, man. I don't see it, but.
Well, anyways.
Yeah. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on the matter?
It's just to get through the weekend on the oil market. It says he's going to keep drawing down. There's $331 million left in the strategic reserve, and he's just going to keep it going until it crashes to the very end, trying to limp along to midterms. But they just fired on Iran, and that's going to change Iran.
Did Israel? I haven't even seen this.
United States.
We fired on Iran?
United States.
When did this happen?
Just within an hour or so ago, Iran hit a cargo ship, and Rubio said that they was going to pay for it. And,
So we're probably attacking the sites
that 2 weeks of talking about a ceasefire is over. Yeah. Everybody arguing about how the ceasefire was going to pan out. That's how it just panned out.
I think there was a lot of market manipulation through all that shit. Every time he would come out and say something, I think a lot of it was to manipulate markets and keep the stock market going.
Well, I tell
that's
you
just
what,
my personal hypothesis.
Iran is in dire straits if it's true and they can't get their oil out and they have to shut those wells off. It's over. It's over. They might not ever start again, and they know
they
that.
They just shipped every... They probably got every ship they had out.
I don't know nothing about the new attack.
The news is so skewed. China has been buying oil from Iran every week, all week. China told them, you shoot one of our ships and you're fucking up. And of course, they don't say it like that in the news. You know, they're talking about the best blockade ever.
Whenever China actually sent ships our way, They're going to buy oil from us now, and they never have before. So, yeah, you're right. They are getting some, but not near as much as they were. But,
and that comes back to my question. If China starts buying our oil and we don't produce enough for ourselves, this is going to be an eventual downfall, math dictates.
I like the Libyan model.
But where the government controls the oil?
We haven't even tapped our shit yet. Like,
Venezuela,
Greenland is on the map. I mean, the whole Western Hemisphere is ours.
I just don't like somebody being in control, whether it's the government or a corporation. Yeah. I mean,
has to be in control, Josh. That's what you're going to have to live with life.
No, we're going to get alternative methods of oil.
Because
that's
somebody's
always
going to have a tank. Always going to have a jet fighter.
We can make a gasifier, damn it. We can burn. It may be hard to run a car on gasifiers or steam or whatever. But I mean, there has been methods for hundreds of years to be able to do other things. Yeah, we could do anything besides gasoline. There's so many different methods.
We need gas until we get electric. China is converting to electric. They'll tell you here that they're not doing it, but 80% of their electric that came online last year was green solar or wind.
I don't like electric because of the lithium batteries and because it can be manipulated or broke down. But besides that, I love the idea of electric because you can create it yourself where you're at, and it's basically freedom. You don't have to, because we can't create an oil refinery. I can't pump oil out of the ground and create a refinery and drive my car. But I can have solar panels and have an electric bike or an electric car and create my own electric without having to be a slave to the system. And so, yes, electric, and it doesn't make the same cool noises of an engine. I love an internal combustion engine and put my foot down on a hammer and go, I'm fucking hauling ass, you know? Mm-hmm. I love that shit. Yeah, but at the same time, I lose all my freedom because of that. And I want the freedom to be not dependent upon that bullshit, to where it's like, well, I got to be dependent upon a corporation or I got to be dependent upon the government. I don't want to depend on either one of them fuckers.
Whenever we get a system that freedom. Can hold the charge that's not lethal and toxic and even to lithium, like you said.
Adolf Diesel was the inventor of the diesel engine, and he created the diesel engine to run on peanuts. And 1 acre of peanuts produces 300 gallons of peanut oil. So theoretically, most households use about 600 gallons of oil a year, and so 2 acres of peanuts will suffice for all of our oil needs for our vehicles. So theoretically, if we could even do peanut processing plants to where we can create, or hemp oil,
you know, those sugar are cane in Venezuela.
Anyway,
where is it? Not Venezuela. Is it Brazil?
Anyway, we can
sugar
create
cane,
right,
for most of their national energy.
Really? Really?
It's one of those countries
for energy.
Sugar cane.
No shit. I did not know.
One
but
of them, it's like 80%.
If we can create power in our communities, that's the answer. And so that's what I'm focused on. Instead of saying, oh, I'm worried about their power structure and whether Exxon or Trump or who's going to have power, I don't want any of their shit. I don't want to be a slave to their oil anymore. I don't want the petrodollar. I don't want any of that shit.
I want
an alternative.
Too for it. I'm up for
I want
all
an alternative.
Of it.
I want to break away from all of it and figure out how I can do it. Create my own shit in my own yard or in my
hydrogen
community. Yeah. Hydrogen. Yeah, exactly.
Helium 3.
And that's off septic water. We could do hydrogen off septic water, off our septic plants. That was my idea, is to do, all of our plants.
Why don't we use, you went to that. Why don't we use our, I guess it's, I just answered my own question in my head. Why don't we use it for fertilizer? But I'm not eating the corn with my recycled corn on top of it.
Look up molten sodium ion batteries. That's what you use at your home that the energy company doesn't want you to know about.
Molten sodium. I don't know if I've heard of them.
Molten sodium ion. It's too big for. It's not energy dense enough for a vehicle, but it's awesome for your house. Hmm. All right, man.
Thanks
for taking my call.
Well, yeah, I appreciate you being so peaceful, man. It was good talking to you, buddy.
Thanks for the information.
Thank you for the information. I appreciate you, man. You have a good night.
Take it easy.
Yes, sir. All right.
It's a good call.
Right? Yeah, it was. That was refreshing. I like that. That was good. I enjoyed that. So, man, that's great.
I
know
we've all had
our problems, but we all kind of made peace there, man.
I was waiting for him to do something.
No, that was great. I love it. That's what I want is for us to be able to peacefully. We've all kind of been in the ring with each other and. you know, at the end of the day, we may not be the best buddy and hold hands and sing Kumbaya, but we were able to have a civil conversation there, man. And I think that's the biggest headway. I feel great. I really do. That was a great thing. That was
solutions.
A good conversation. And
solutions.
And peace. Yeah. And we're making peace even among people that it's been hard.
It was
hard.
Very hard.
And so I love it, man. I love that we're creating peace and creating solutions. So appreciate the input, caller. That was refreshing. So, I just, where am I at? What is it? 6:30? What? We still got it. We still got a minute, right?
Yeah. Hour.
Okay. All right.
Seven.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Half an hour?
So that's just kind of where I'm at. I know you and JR were trying to throw me on.
I really like having the no time limit kind of thing. It makes it flow better. And I think we're not like...
I just want to make sure. I just want to show you proper respect, Polly. I want to give Ion.
If I wanted to go later, I can go later.
I want to give Eye of the Beholder the proper respect it deserves, man. So I just always want to
thank you for that.
Yes, sir, man.
This has been fun. It made it fun again, man.
I love it, man. This is good stuff, man. I appreciate you, Polly. You're a good man. What else?
And I want to say publicly. But, you know, the harsh words I said last week, I'm sorry for that, man. We were going back and forth. We were emotional. And I shouldn't have said some of those things.
Well,
the personal attacks.
Yeah, man. Yeah, me too. And I apologize, too. And I went too far, man. And I can't control anybody else. I can't control anything else. All I can control is myself. And I can look back on myself and my actions and go, shit, man, I'm not. I wish I would have handled myself better. And I apologize.
That's why I like your three-stride thing, dude. It works out. And for men that are honest, intellectually honest, coming in to talk to each other, I think that three-strike rule should work for anybody.
It should.
Comes into this honestly, any debate.
Right, right.
Because you do get heated, and that, you know, your rule there does admit, you know, I don't want to, I'm not a rule guy, dude.
Right, me neither. It's hard.
This, but that one rule, I think, does make it.
Right, and that's just like the one broad rule that I figured out to where, okay, we can have this shit, but it reins shit in, you know, and so to where we can still, you know, go off the rails to the point of, you know, going off the fucking rails and
using our free speech to the utmost,
up to the utmost fullest before
paces.
Exactly. And so we've got to try to stop that before
the
that. Yeah,
First Amendment is
right.
What we're doing,
right, and using it to the fullest. And I love it. This is progressing very well, man. And I feel like we're making a lot of headway, man. Mm-hmm. I feel it's a good thing.
We're on some subjects, man.
Oh, shit.
I don't see no Iran attack, but we are watching, you know, the one side.
Yeah, you're right.
But I thought Fox at least would say something about it. They're kind of wishy-washy.
I don't know. I think they're more towards the right.
Back. No, I don't know.
I don't watch any of this shit. I don't know.
Arizona won that night. I haven't watched Fox since. Now, I do see clips.
I haven't done it a decade since when they said Ron Paul, when they said Mitt Romney beat Ron Paul, I said, fuck this shit. You guys are dirty whore mouth liars. All of you guys. I'm not falling for your shit. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. Yeah, you guys kiss my ass.
Dirty whore mouth liar.
Sorry that came out a little wrong. I don't know. Get fiery sometimes.
That's damn it.
I mean, I shouldn't have said that, but I feel that way about the mainstream media. Damn it. I don't know if I give myself – if the mainstream media was here to call me out.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't want to get too comfortable making insults, though, but
at them, it's a pass.
Yeah, but
media.
Let's see. I did have other things that I was wanting to hit on. There was – okay. All right, Paulie, I'm going to go somewhere fucking completely to the other side of the world. Other completely crazy shit. Here we go.
Hell yeah.
My buddy is very educated about Indian artifacts and arrowheads. And so he is so good that he can make the most badass arrowhead you've ever seen in your life. And he can make them himself. And he'll do it right there with just rocks. And I'll watch him do it. And it's an art form. He makes arrowheads way better than an Indian ever could. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't say better than an Indian ever could. Yeah. Better than some of the Indians ever could. And so as I'm learning from him and stuff, and I've wanted to try and get to doing this to where I can do it. And I've had him try and teach me a little bit. I wanted to do a whole YouTube like course where he, cause he's kind of a little bit more shy and to himself, but he's like a genius. Like he can touch anything when it comes to machinery or anything and just fix it looking at it. Like he fucking knows everything. Mm. Carburetor. I mean, everything about everything he knows mechanically. I mean, he's a mechanical genius, but when it comes to arrowheads, he's taught me that there's all different kinds. So there's like Sedalias and there's all these different kind of points. There's hundreds of different types of arrowheads. You follow me?
By the different tribes, maybe, or the different sects?
Different everything.
Just makers.
Different different tribes, different years, different centuries, different civilizations. So you got to realize that.
It's like
the difference between 1,000 years ago arrowhead and the 4,000 years ago arrowhead is completely different, and that's why you get like some that are like the Kansas City Chiefs, and so you can get into arrowheads, and there's just so many different types of arrowheads. You know, you follow me, and so they all represent different civilizations at different times, and so with arrowheads, it's fucking crazy. Because the further you go back, there's these things called Clovis, Cumberland, and Folsom. And these are arrowheads that are 10 to 12,000 years old. 10 to 12,000. Right here in Missouri, you find them right now. There's people, you can go out right now in Missouri, where we're standing, and find a
some of the oldest Clovis, rocks on Earth are
Cumberland,
here in the
or Folsom, and pick it up. And that was made 12,000 years ago. That arrowhead was made 12,000 years ago. And so the further back we go, the more difficult and intricate the arrowheads get. And so Tyler right now, he said there's probably six people in the entire world, on the entire planet, because he knows he is a master napper. And he knows how to make these arrowheads and do badass things with them. And I mean, he can do anything with an arrowhead, but he can't make these. He can't make a Clovis, a Cumberland, or a Folsom. He cannot do it. Even with all the tools he has,
the knowledge has been
everything.
Lost.
It's not even the knowledge. It's the ability to do it. It's not even the knowledge. The knowledge to do it isn't there. It's that we can't do it. It's so difficult to do. And so it's almost like a mystery on how they're able to do some of these points and some of these, but so when they chip the arrowheads, they chip them off the sides and they break them down the sides. And the way these Clovises and these Cumberlands and Folsoms, they call it a flute. And right down the middle, they'll break off down the middle to where you can put it in like a spear or something. You know what I mean? And this flute going down the middle is like impossible to put on an arrowhead. But yet, the further back you go, the better and more intricate and impossible these arrowheads are to do. And so you can look at them right here in Missouri, right here where we're standing on our own ground, and see that the further back you go for arrowheads, the more advanced they are. So that tells you that.
A service of Lake Ozark Real Estate, 660 AM JROK, Lake Ozark.
So what
thank you, KB. Appreciate you. Now,
so your premise is we
devolved, though. Okay. I mean, if you think that 12,000 years ago, we made the most intricate, awesome arrowheads, and then as we progressed, we lost that and devolved and became stupider?
So here's my thing on that. No, a bullet. They couldn't make a bullet. Are we finding bullets?
What do you mean?
So we've evolved. We've evolved to bullets. To where that we don't even need that spear anymore. It's lost knowledge. It's here's like a saber-toothed tiger. It's not needed anymore.
Here's
so
my thing.
Bye-bye knowledge.
What if you...
I'm going to shoot that guy that made that beautiful spear with my Glock.
Not 12,000
years obsolete.
Ago. It's obsolete. No. It's long before bullets were ever existed.
But that's what I'm saying. We've advanced. Bullets are an advancement.
But
of
you're
that
missing.
Spearhead.
You're missing the point. That would be like if we had a 300 Win Mag, which is my personal gun that I love. That's my baby. Mm-hmm. A man with one. Beware the man with one gun. Yeah, because he knows how to use that son of a bitch. Yeah, and I can reach out. I got about 500 yards on that thing that I can reach out and touch with. But let's go a 500 or 300 Win Mag compared to a musket gun. And so let's say 200 years ago, 500 years ago, let's say 1,000 years ago, they had 300 Win Mags, but we only got musket guns now, and we can't figure out how to make a 300 Win Mag because we're not that smart or that capable. So
that's not the same analogy.
It is.
It's not. It's the exact like the same wagon analogy. Wheel. It's the same analogy. I'll make an analogy. The wagon wheel in the car.
No.
You know what I mean? How many people can make a wagon wheel now? Because we don't need that technology anymore. Everybody can make a wagon wheel. We don't need that technology anymore.
Everyone can make a wagon wheel.
No, I can't.
But that's the thing, is that Indians needed that technology until the last 100 years. We're talking about 12,000 years, Polly. So for 11,
well, we're on that cusp. 11,000. We're on that cusp of eliminating primitive things.
For 11,990 years, they have needed arrowheads, and the ones that were 12,000 years old back then are way better than the new ones. Which is the exact
so it was devolving the scenario. Until exactly. The industrial age basically. Until the but and yes then we took and a so, great leap forward.
So the question is why did we devolve for 12,000 years, Polly? So whether or not, let's take the last 100 years out of the equation, you still got 12,000 years of de-evolution.
Yeah, yeah, it seems
And so that is something that we can't do now. And so the question becomes, what happens if we woke up tomorrow and there was a Carrington event, solar flare, solar storm that wiped out everything? We would still be some smart guys, and we would, and gals, and we would be able to do
a million
advancements
left.
we would be able to do things and have things, but as time progressed, we wouldn't be able to have the infrastructure to build it back. But we would still have our minds and our advancements and our ability to do, and we would still have some of the cool tools.
But over time, I wouldn't have the alternator no more.
Oh, exactly.
That, when the car broke down, exactly. Where the alternators are all and gone, so over and they're time, not making alternators
anymore. Especially
as
everybody wars, and as especially, you know, you're recovering from maybe a hypothetical nuclear bomb that turned the whole world into glass.
You're right.
You know, scary. To where there's layers of glass where they said that the world might have been nuked. You know what I mean? And so as we're trying to rebuild from this shit, we don't have the infrastructure to build all this, so we still have the mentality. And so that's why you have 1,000 years of this extreme advanced technology, and then it just eats shit and devolves. And if it's not just the arrowheads, it's the pottery, it's the structures, it's the everything, the temples, there's like all of the
structures
shit.
Definitely
and it's intricate. All you can look and see that the older shit is better than the newer shit, even though, you know, we can do it now. It's like a curve to where it's a,
do you think,
but we're 3,000-5,000 years mankind,
do you think
just,
we're not back on purpose?
What do you mean?
Do you think that those events that have made devolution, you know, start in those events, that it's done on purpose by extraterrestrial or spiritual, maybe even?
I don't know.
What do you think?
That's the question. That's the question.
Or is it just random?
Where did it go? How did that happen? I wasn't there. That's always the question. Yeah, is it all? I can always speculate, and I can. At the end of the day, I never have the answer because I wasn't there. But that's the thing that fascinates me and keeps me up at night. Where I'm like, how in the hell did that happen? And then I can be like, well, it could have been aliens, or it could have been us, or it could have been. I mean,
random.
Anything. Yeah, it could have been a natural event.
Next question that it goes to with the guy that makes these. Is there any way that we could capitalize on this and make it like it's this is an artifact we found 100, it's a 100-year-old
artifact. They got ways of testing it. You can't test it. You can't, but his shit could totally get bypassed, and he sells his shit for a lot. And like
well, as he should, I guess, with, you know.
Yeah. I'm going to show you
handmade
something.
Handmade stuff.
This right here is the actual piece. I know the listeners out there can't see it, but that piece right there is the one I'm talking about. And that looks pretty consistent. Down the middle is a flute. See how it's chipped in the middle to where it's like that right there?
I got you.
We can't replicate that now. The way they break it all off and stuff. And that is fluted on both sides. And so both sides of that is fluted. And so
when they try to do that, it breaks or something.
Yeah. And so in order to do that, it's impossible to do. You can't do it without breaking it. And so the technology to do that, and like since it's fluted on both sides, the piece in the middle there is just super thin, and that's like a spearhead, snapping it, and so it's brittle. Like, and that's a $10,000 $10,000 rock right there, at least.
Wow, man.
Probably more. You never know. And it's just, it's crazy to think about.
Because
and
it's so old.
It's not just because it's so old. It's because we can't replicate that shit. It's unreplicatable. Wow. And that's why it's worth so much. Yeah. It's because we can't do it. And they could do it 12,000 years ago, and it's just like just taunting us right here. It's like a carrot right in front of us going, oh, you guys, you're so smart. Yeah, you're so advanced, aren't you? Yeah. And there's like six people in the world that can do that right now. You know what I mean?
They can't do that, but only the size.
Right. Yeah. And it's just it's crazy to think about that we devolve. And so I know right now in this world it seems like we're more advanced, but at the same time, are we more advanced? Because we don't actually have the ability to do all of this shit. We rely on our connection to everybody
in order for making
our technology and all the shit that we see. Oh, we're so smart. It's a connection of all of us. And so I don't think that we are actually that much smart. We've just worked together to advance on the backs of our ancestors for so long.
Isn't that the natural order of things, though?
Right. But I don't, at the end of the day, I don't think we're necessarily.
Like the people that farmed used to be just berry pickers, and then they started farming. Then they domesticated animals. And then so that's technology, domesticated animal.
Right.
So isn't that just the natural order of things? And I believe what you said. That we've been knocked back a few times.
Right.
You know, that's a very believable theory in today's science now.
Yeah.
Do you know about the Missouri Plateau? Mm-mm. This ain't mountains we're living in. I just learned this, you know, on a documentary. This is a plateau that we live in. This is actually a high plateau that over the millions and billions of years, however long, has been eroded. The Ozark Mountains, the tops of them were a plateau, and then everything around was eroded. The valleys are from erosion from glaciers and just over time. Did you know that? Mm-mm. I didn't know that either.
So that's why it's all limestone, because the limestone stayed and never all the sediment washed away.
Some of the oldest rocks on Earth exist right here in the Ozark Mountains because they're there from the beginning. Like they said there's places here that you can find in the rock that's original rock that doesn't have any limestone in it, any of the ocean. So here's even where, before the ocean was here.
Here's where shit's going to get crazy. I don't even know. This is. I don't even know if this is public knowledge or whatever. It's a thing. We know the guy who found it. It's within a half a mile of my house.
Yeah, caves everywhere.
But there is a cave that was found with a sloth bear in it. And this sloth bear is supposedly like
Ice Age.
Yes, yep, exactly. Ice Age. And so beside this sloth bear, it was found with an arrowhead in the sloth bear. And beside it was a body, and it had like armor on, like a, oh shit. I thought that was muted. Sorry. But it had a chest plate of armor.
Oh, and wow.
So
More technology than we thought.
It looks like Ice Age. We were fighting sloth bears in Lori, Missouri, right there within a mile of my house. And it's like a local thing where everybody knows this guy. And I don't know if it's been publicly published and shit, or if it's been swept under the rug, and I'm probably going to get some black ops team at my house tonight. Get some black ops team at my house tonight going, you shouldn't have said shit about that. You disrupted the whole timeline of everything. And
send them to the Smithsonian dungeon.
Yeah, right. And they actually have a CIA program to where they work with the CIA. There's a CIA division for the Smithsonian.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And it's just, that's part of it.
That's crazy,
and
that's fucking.
So, it's crazy that this is like in my backyard, and
There's some old stuff right there.
A sloth bear, the skeletons and stuff. I haven't got a chance to do research on it because I just have recently found out about this today and yesterday. I didn't know, and I'm like, shit, I want to. And that's where the question is everybody don't know how mainstream it is, but I'm going to try and research and see how mainstream it's been found out, but
neat. I believe it because you know, the thing I was watching, it said there's more caves here than pretty much anywhere in the world because of the way the water fissured.
Then you go into the Cahokia Mounds outside of St. Louis. I'm sure you know about those.
Hmm?
The Cahokia Mounds and then...
the Mounds. Yeah.
The Monks Mound. Yeah. There was 30,000 Native Americans living there in 1000 AD. So in 1000 AD, St. Louis...
A city.
St. Louis was bigger than anywhere in England. You have to realize St. Louis was bigger than anywhere in England in 1000 AD. Like... London wasn't as big as St. Louis.
Wow.
And none of it. Nowhere in England was as big as St. Louis. So they came over here and discovered us when we were already bigger than they were and more civilized than they were. And who knows how long those, because they don't even know where the Cahokia tribe came from. They have theories, but there's nothing for sure. They're like, oh, I don't know. They just kind of appeared. And then you can look and see it all over, up and down the Mississippi River. There's all kinds of civilizations and stuff. And then it even comes into here, and there's a lot of things that speculate that like lakes and stuff are put on top of old civilizations
to hide our history.
Yeah. And so theoretically, our lake could have been one of those things.
It
and
there's, is one of them, there's, actually, there's, in legend. If you
there's like
to
a
degree.
Zebra cliff, I guess. There's all kinds of crazy shit underneath this lake. And I think there's some secret shit under there, man. I really do. And even Lake Mead. And Lake Mead's now draining low, super low.
And they're finding
Yeah. And so I think that there's just, I don't know, a lot that we don't know, but this where we're standing right now could be older than any of the other civilizations that we know.
Yeah, on Earth.
And there's even a cave. Oh, I forgot to where there's like cave drawings and stuff here in Missouri that's 10,000 that they say this is 10,000. These drawings are 10,000 years old and stuff. I think it's right off 70 in between Kingdom City and St. Louis. Hmm. Somewhere in there, there's a cave. I forgot. Maybe the Elloria Cave. Ah, I forget what the name
is.
There's
so many. I mean, really. You could drive 10 miles anywhere.
Right. But I mean, Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, and we're talking about Native Americans and civilizations being here, right here in Missouri. That point that I showed you that's worth $10,000 was here 12,000 years ago when Jesus was here 2,000. You know what I mean? And it's fuck. You know, it's like, damn, man. Like, there's just so much history that we don't know. We only know 1%. Like, 99% of our history has been, like, straight up. Lost. That's even, like, what the mainstream says is, you know, the people in charge of history are even saying, even the people in charge of history are like, yeah, we lost about 99% of our history. You know, it's just the outcome of the winter.
The nature of spoils wars of the, and information.
Yeah, spoils of war gets you to destroy the other civilization. And since we have wars about every fucking year, it's always been that way. You can look back all throughout civilizations in any country, any time. China, you can't find a time when China wasn't fighting some shit. Like, and we're basically been that same way since we've started keeping records, and since even before the records. I mean, it's just what's ingrained in us to keep fighting and fighting and fighting.
Hardwired to self-destruct.
Yeah, and it does. It seems like we're hardwired to self-destruct, and so that's how do we break this fucking cycle on a bigger, you know, multi-thousand generational cycle? Like, what the fuck is going on? How do we break this? Like how do we create
peace?
It won't
be broken
until
he comes back, man.
I don't...
Until the angels come back and the army is here,
but
and
even
it
then,
breaks the evil and we
then,
get to join the next level.
Then how you break the evil? I mean, is he just
going to
magically wave his hand and say there's no evil in
anyone? We don't know.
Everyone thinks they're going to get a free pass, but what?
No, everybody's not going to get a free pass, bro.
But everybody has evil inside of them. Those who live without...
There is a way to salvation.
Who cast the first stone?
There is a way.
You know what I mean? But right, and so... At that point, he can't just come in and wave a magic wand and say, okay, I want to make everybody not be evil anymore.
That literally is what's going to happen. Any evil entity
but
is
going
to cease to exist.
But that takes away free will.
No, not... That pact is over at that point.
But
the
there's yin and yang.
I think there's yin and yang in everybody.
I think there's free will and there's good and bad in everyone, because if you had no bad, you wouldn't know what is good. And so
some of these demons don't know nothing. There's no knowledge involved. They're just here to do evil. They're entities.
I'm just saying.
I believe there's
like,
not human
like there's,
entities.
I get it. And I'm into all that. But I'm saying that, I'm open to the thought of all that. But I'm also saying that there's bad and good in everyone. And there's probably more bad in some people and there's more good in some people. But at the end of the day, there is bad and good in everyone. And to come in and say, where's that line of bad and where is that limit?
And
is he just going to make it go? I mean, is he just going to magically make it wave his hand and make it all go away? And when
that's
you
not
do
how
that,
it works. There is pure evil. There are human looking people, and we would call them human, walking around this earth that doesn't have a good person.
I know.
Bone in
their
body.
I get it. But at the same day, like all of us, even you and me right now.
Well, it just depends on that one choice.
Let's hypothetically say that Jesus came back and he's like, you know, I really love this planet and I gave this to you guys to respect and honor. And you guys are just trashing it, driving your cars around, creating plastic and doing all this shit and everywhere, all over all my beautiful everything. That's evil, bro. I'm not happy about this. And so does he kill us all?
No, he says who repented in their heart and it was true about it, about the evils that
and sorry
man
about
does.
Doing all it's, the things we did. Yeah, and so
that's how it works, bro. That's what salvation and his grace, that's what grace is about.
But just doing that because
the
people are
that
scared
runs the world. Yes, the entity
doing
that
it because
runs the
they're
world
scared or because they want
to govern. And that right there is self-govern. Integrity is self-govern, and showing integrity to the maker is the ultimate self-govern. Like,
right,
let me into the next level. Because
at the end of the day, we're still
heart.
Going to be doing bad things at some in some way, shape, or form. We're not going to be perfect. That's like a given. Is that we're not going
and
to be perfect,
grace,
and we're still going
where
to be
we're
fucked.
Going to that next level. Is His grace gonna?
But theoretically, like the way the it plays grace. Out, you can't just take all of the evil out of somebody because it's still there's still going to be flaws inside of us, and you're either going to have to force it out of us and take control, or you're going to still have to allow us free will, in which case that stuff's going to still be in us, and in which case that creates a very gray line. And so I don't know.
I think once we cross the threshold, we're above that.
It's almost
and we're proven we're above the I'm going to have the little evil.
It's almost
in my
an
heart.
Easy cop out to say, well, Jesus is going to come and make everything better. I don't have to do anything.
That's not
us ever looking inside of ourselves and striving
yes,
to
is.
Do that
I
before.
I got
to do that before.
My truth is no, you don't get to see that's the difference. It's not going to be like, okay,
you should do it
now,
though. You should,
well,
though.
That is
but that's the we all
that's
should.
That's what we preach. That's
we
what we
should
try to
all
preach.
Be striving for that. And
you're right.
It doesn't seem like we are. And you're so right. When he comes, it's all going to be too late. You know what I mean? It's going to be like.
Not for some of us.
Well, and that's just different hypothetical theories, you know? I mean, obviously, if he shows up and says, oh, I'm here to kill everybody that doesn't believe, all the evildoers, everybody's going to go, oh shit, there he is. I believe I'm sorry. And now, are they really going to do it? Is that evil motherfucker that runs everything and doing all this
and it
evil
just
shit?
Depends on what
is
their
Jeffrey
heart is.
Epstein?
He could see.
If Jeffrey Epstein sees Jesus and says, shit, Jesus, I'm sorry, bro, is that okay for everything
if,
Jeffrey Epstein
if he's
did?
Really in his heart.
Is that okay? Does that give him
yes.
a free pass? Because
yes,
once Jesus
sorry,
becomes
man.
Before him and says, well, I'm here, I'm
if
your God.
It's true. If it's true, yes.
If it's
that's
true,
the nature of the
bro,
grace in our humanity
know,
and
pass
the
on that
love
philosophy.
Our Creator has for
I might pass on that philosophy. I'm not okay with that. That goes back to the justice in Batman. Where's Batman, bro? Where's the justice?
That's for humans to decide on
there.
Our planet.
I don't know,
that,
man.
You know.
I don't
that's
know.
The, for that's the maker the, to decide when he
oh,
gets there.
Oh, well, where's Batman? That's what I'm saying.
That's
man.
For
if,
ours
if
to
Epstein
decide
gets
on our
a, gets a
we'll
free
send
pass
him there
once he shows
for
up
him
and
to say we're saying
well,
sorry.
Shouldn't Epstein do it before and be like, well, shit, maybe
well,
I should look back
have.
On my
yeah,
life.
Yeah,
and
he
if
should've.
He does, maybe on look back on his life before Jesus shows up and
he
says, hey, I'm here.
Yes.
Maybe he could be like, man, I'm a dirty dirtball bastard and I probably need to make up for all those terrible things I did.
Yeah, he should have. You're right.
And so just giving him a free pass when Jesus shows
it's
up and says,
not
I'm
a
here.
A free pass if he's really pure at heart. We got to forgive too.
But
if
the once he shows up, heart, once he shows up, that kind of takes away, doesn't it? Like that.
Not really, man. But it does say, but he did say, you know, Matthew did record that Jesus said that blessed are those that don't see me and believe, because those that hear or that do see me don't even believe. So your little premise is kind of right. That he should have done it before, he would be more blessed.
Right.
But.
Right. I mean, and that's, and at the end of the day, we should be striving, I guess, to try and do what we can now and not waiting for that moment or not waiting for somebody to come in and save us and all that. And that's just, like I said, that's where it comes back to, like, it's an easy cop out. It's an easy cop out.
I'm going to be in a limo.
It's an easy cop out to sit here and just keep on doing bad shit until he comes and then being like, oh shit, he's here. Okay, now I want to change. And so why don't we just try to change the shit now while we can without that?
I agree.
You know what I mean? To where it doesn't have to come to that, to where maybe we can.
But for some man, it is going to have to come to
right.
that.
Right. But
they're going to be 100,000 on their knees at that point, you know?
Yeah. And so just taking him out of the thing, I mean, I see that if we don't, whatever, you know, if that's not a thing, then we're going to be destined to the same cycle we've always done. And maybe that's the same cycle that just perpetually happens on Earth. And maybe
we lose those that run things, come back maybe up even from flame.
I don't know. Even on a deeper 5, level,
5,000 years, we re.
They might use reset. Jesus almost as a carrot to pull in front of us to say, oh, he's going to come back one day. Just let us keep doing evil shit. You know, he's going to come back. He's going to come back. And it's just this carrot out in front of us that just keeps letting us sing Charlie Browning and whack-a-mole to where we all just fall for the same shit every time. And we just, all, everything, we're just led by evil. And evil has ran the world for so fucking long.
The human pattern.
You know, and it's just it is, and it's like a copy paste scenario that just seems to go through.
They keep yeah, it,
and that's what
are.
I'm trying to break
we
is that are. Fucking hardwiring. That's what we're trying to do right it, here. But we're making headway, Paulie. Yeah, look, man, we're creating peace, and we just
we
made
do
peace
need
with
that chip. Because well, that chip is in our brain is going to be the only thing that is going to break the hardwiring.
No. That could take us the other way too.
The board.
It could take us the other. No. It could take us the other total. Way and that could be the evil, and it could just be like, well, we're all gonna
be peaceful with chips in our heads.
No, Paulie, no, that's not it,
thank
my
you,
friend.
Elon.
No. I see it as the opposite. I see it as total opposite.
We're gonna be driving like fish school, all at 200 miles per hour on the freeway, and never bind up because our AI is gonna be linked, and we're just gonna be able to just. But fly. Everybody could fly.
I'd rather have dangerous no crashes. Freedom than peaceful slavery. yeah, I mean, whatever. I don't think
I would take the chip either.
I'd never take the chip.
But that's ever. Our future, man. That's what it's looking it's at. Scary. That's what they're designing.
But if
Mr. Roboto.
Hopefully we can create peace on our own and be able to do it, because that chip is just going to be more control, and it's just going to give the powers to be more control. And I don't think that control is ever going to be the answer. That's always good. Control is
that's
always going to
control.
Create.
They'll just shut it off, that's, right?
Right. And so that's where it comes is yeah. that anytime it's somebody over. Pushes for control, there's always going to be conflict where somebody's like, I don't like being controlled. So the mere thought that you're going to control the whole world through any means of anything is destined to self-destruct and fail, because it's going to create resistance, which will eventually lead to its own self-destruction.
There you go. I believe that too. Freedom sells itself, and it's not going to die in the human heart. And that's why we go to war all the time. That's why we're hardwired to self-destruct, bro.
But that's why we
because
need freedom.
Because I will take
freedom.
My gun and go commit suicide against that Chinese
right.
soldier.
But freedom, at the end of the day, if we can focus on freedom and allow everybody to do their own thing, as long as no victim, no crime, we're going to create peace. And so if we can strive somehow, I know it's a hard concept and it's crazy to push for, but if we can strive for freedom and strive for peace, we're going to change the world. And I think that we're doing real good here, Paulie. I think we're striving, even though sometimes we get fiery, but I think that at the end of the day, we're creating some peace and we're creating some freedom. So I'm probably going to let you have your show if that's all right, man.
Yeah,
I think I'm
good.
About out of things I wanted to yeah.
play it.
Oh, where are we at? Yeah. Is that got GNR?
Yeah, no, it's Metallica.
Is it Metallica?
Yeah.
All right. All right. I don't know if that's the most positive way, but it's all right. It's the most metal way.
Yeah.
Hardwired to self-destruct. Yeah, this has been a great show, man. I like this. I think we did really great this time. Thank you,
we both
brother,
had it on our mind, and we did.
Yeah. No, this has been a great one. That's 14 videos. I guess that's that's the whole album. So Metallica, Hardwired.
The actual, yeah.
Is it
the
Hardwired?
Actual song. Yeah.
Okay. I guess this is off a new, newer album.
It is.
Okay. So that's why I'm lost here. I'm like, I don't know what we're talking about. Okay. So as always, listeners, thank you all so much for listening and following along with the show. You guys are amazing. I appreciate you all. I appreciate Lake Ozark Real Estate of the Art Studio and Damn Radio, and I appreciate Paulie, man. Thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I appreciate you.
And with that, I will bid you guys an adieu. I love you all, and I hope you all have a wonderful evening. This is Metallica, Hardwired, of closing us out this evening.